Hello, everybody. My name is Rainer Franosch, and today we speak about the criminal use of hardened encrypted devices and what problems go with it in criminal proceedings. Well, I worked as a public prosecutor for 17 years in the field of cybercrime, and now I'm the deputy head of criminal law department of the state Ministry of Justice of the federal state of Hessen in Germany. What are hardened encrypted devices? A hardened encrypted device is a communication device that firstly sends and receives encrypted electronic communications and or secondly, encrypts and the data stored on the device. Well, what is the idea behind it? All criminal gangs know very well that wiretapping is a very powerful means in criminal proceedings and in investigations to gather evidence. And they tend to use special devices run by operators and providers who do not cooperate with law enforcement agencies. And you see it on this slide. You have probably all heard about the EncroChat case. This screenshot is from the homepage on which EncroChat devices were promoted. And well, perfect forward secrecy. Each message session with each contact is encrypted with a different set of keys. Well, let's look into this a little bit further, because I want to show you how this EncroChat investigation went through and which legal challenges were combined with this investigation. As I said before, EncroChat was a provider of hardened encrypted devices, cell phones, on which an app was installed that allowed EncroChat users to send encrypted messages to each other. But not only that, of course, also pictures, videos, and speech messages. Well, the distribution channels of these devices and the big cost from the beginning on, law enforcement agencies believe that these devices are used almost exclusively for conducting criminal businesses. You could purchase such an Encro device together with a user license for only 6 months at the price of approximately 1,600 euros. You see, it was not a real bargain, and you should ask yourself, why should people hand out so much money for an encrypted phone? Well, there were no persons who presented themselves to the outside world as responsible for EncroChat, and there was, of course, no official company headquarters. This slide also shows the self-promoting of these Encro devices, guaranteed anonymity, customized Android platform, a dual operating system so that the subscribers could launch either a standard Android operating system or the EncroChat OS. So this is good when it comes down to deniability. You could always switch on the phone and nobody would recognize that it is an Encro phone. Messages that would self-destruct, that helps to avoid evidence. There was a panic wipe so that you could instantly wipe all the data stored on the device. And the same went with a password. Could also set that if you, a set amount of password attempts, the device would be wiped automatically from all data. This was the way this device was promoted by the provider. So you bought a subscription as a customer and you became a handset. When communicating to other users, you were identified by a nickname, of course, not by your real name. The communications between the handsets were mediated through a server or several servers, and each use the server authenticated the handset and allowed the contacts with other authenticated handsets. So it was a closed circle for Encro chat device users. The server had the same ability as a legit smartphone, of course, the ability to update the handsets with new apps and to switch off the handsets remotely. And as I said before, the communications were end-to-end encrypted. Well, all Encro users who felt quite secure with the very expensive devices, they received a message in the night of June the 12th to the 13th of 2020. The encryption provider issued a security alert to its customers, indicated that there was an illegal seizure by government entities. And all customers were advised to physically dispose the device in order to be sure that no evidence data falls into the hand of law enforcement agencies. But as you will see, it was too late because the investigation was already underway since 2017. In 2017, French police and judicial authorities began investigating the phones because they found some during other investigations. I will come back to that later. And they found out that this EncroChat provider was in use by criminal networks across the globe. And so the French colleagues, they decided to hand this case over to Eurojust. And because of the fact that a Dutch provider was involved, the Dutch authorities were also involved in this investigation April 2019. A joint investigation team, JIT, agreement was signed between the national police and judicial authorities of France and the Netherlands in April 2020, supported by the French and Dutch desks at Eurojust and with the support of Europol. There were a couple of coordination meetings, as always in such big cases, and there was a lot of analysis. I will come back to that later on. And all these efforts resulted in interception analysis of millions of messages and a huge amount of data of great value for law enforcement agencies, not only in Europe, but all over the world. The French authorities have forwarded the data of the EncroChat users to many states outside of the JIT, including Germany. In course of evaluating the data, a large number of proceedings have been initiated throughout Germany, or in some cases there were already investigations ongoing, the data have been added. Within these preliminary proceedings and later in court, the defense often doubts the admissibility of the data. And this this slide shows you some pictures which were released to the press showing some of the results out of the EncroChat data. Top left, you see large amounts of cash from drug trafficking, drugs, and automatic handguns. And below right, you see a special designed container the Dutch authorities found in the Netherlands. This container was designed by a criminal, organized criminal gang in order to abduct and capture a rival leader of an organized crime gang. And it was a place for him to keep him and to torture him and to kill him. And you see in this picture that this there was a chair dentists use, and all this was prepared for abducting the victim. Through the usage of the EncroChat data, this could be prevented. So a lot of very, very important investigations were supported by this data. But the first step in this investigation was not to investigate against the users of the EncroChat phones, but to investigate against the EncroChat provider. Because the French police found out that the server used by the EncroChat provider operated from France, Roubaix. And so this investigation against the provider was launched. And due to, quite sophisticated technology, French law enforcement agencies were able to copy and subsequently view the data from this server in December 2018. Analysis revealed a large number of SIM cards belonging to the Dutch operator. I mentioned this before. This was the reason why the Dutch came into this case. And, it became quite clear that the users use the technology to conduct only illegal business, especially drug trafficking. But the decryption of the chat messages exchanged between the users was still unsuccessful. And at that point, French law enforcement authorities decided to access the mobile devices as well, because they needed evidence against the EncroChat provider. On January 13th, 2020, the investigating judge in Lille authorized the use of a computer data interception device, which was accompanied by the installation of a Trojan software, both on the server and the mobile devices connected to the server. I mentioned before that the server was able to update the single devices. After renewed judicial approval, all data streams from the server were redirected as of the 1st of April of 2020. Through this wide-ranging data intercept, the French authorities obtained data from over 3,000 users from 121 different countries. The exact technical steps the French police officers undertook are subject to military secrecy, so we do not know anything about the technology they used. But it is clear that the effect of this Trojan horse was to exfiltrate all the messages from the devices. And this is what we call a source telecommunication interception. You intercept the telecommunication at the source because technically you cannot understand what you intercept on the way. You can intercept the streams, but they are not readable. It's just useless data. Only if you intercept at the source, then you get all these messages and videos in plain and you can read it. So before encryption on the sender's phone and after decryption on the recipient's phone. During all this was going on, neither the German authorities nor any other authorities from other involved countries were informed of this ongoing surveillance measure in accordance with Article 31 of the European Investigation Order Directive. Although by this investigative measures of the French colleagues, persons located on German territory were affected. But French authorities informed the Federal Criminal Police Office via Europol at an early stage about the findings obtained through the data. So there was some kind of information, but not through the correct legal channel, so to speak. The General Public Prosecutor's Office in Frankfurt, in Hessen, where I come from, in its function as a central office for combating cybercrime, opened a case against all yet unknown German users of Encro on suspicion of drug trafficking. Between beginning of April and the end of June 2020, French authorities transmitted a lot of data. that has a connection to Germany, to the BKA, for further use. And the CIT initiated separate preliminary investigation proceedings against each of the later identified users. And then all these cases were handed over to the public prosecutors with local competence for prosecution. In the meantime, the CIT issued an EIO in the proceedings against all users to obtain the evidence already in possession. That means not to obtain legally spoken, but to make this evidence admissible in court. So it's a classical example of information sharing. The information was shared by the police and it was used to initiate other preliminary investigations. But before you could use it in court, you have to do the way through to go the way through an EIO. And this is what then happened. In this EIO, the CIT requested the French judicial authorities to allow the unrestricted use of the already in Germany residing data in criminal proceedings against the German perpetrators. This was granted by the investigating judge in Lille. And at the same time, the continuation of the transmission of the data was ordered, without which had taken place without a request before. And the French authorities agreed to the use of the data for any German judicial, prosecutorial, or investigative proceedings. So now all this data became admissible in court. And all the steps in this investigation are now questioned in the court proceedings by the defense. And probably in your country, you have dealt with EncroChat cases, and maybe one or two of the following arguments used against the admissibility of the Encro data sound familiar to you. The first argument against the admissibility of the Encro data in court is that there is a lack of control of the court, a control deficit, because the German courts do know nothing about the monitoring technology the French used. You remember military secrecy. This is the first argument. Is there a control deficit? The second argument is that the EIO later issued violates Article 6 of the direction, because the data, the transmission and the use of the data could not have been ordered in a comparable domestic case because there was no qualified suspicion against the users of the devices. Third argument, the French authorities violated fundamental standards in the sense of ordre public, because they had specifically searched for incidental findings also abroad. So this argument mainly says that that all this case against the provider was more or less a fake, and it was only made up in order to get the data of the users of Encro without enough suspicion, initial suspicion, and it was an active search for incidental findings. And the fourth argument, the lack of notification. I mentioned this before. The French authorities at least did not mention the German authorities in the proper way that there was an ongoing surveillance of German citizens. Let's look into these arguments. Are they conclusive or not? And of course, what I can give you is just an idea how German courts argued later on. It may be seen differently in different legislations, but I think one or another idea on the following slides could also apply in other legislations. What about the control deficit? The What the most German courts dealing with this matter ruled is that there is no control deficit that would deprive the principle of mutual recognition that characterizes European law. At least the court in Lille had a sufficient basis for issuing the order, because the French court was aware of the considerable scope of the technology-based measures French authorities used and the basic functioning of the investigative technology. So it was absolutely clear to the French investigating judge that all the data on the server and the mobile devices were to be exfiltrated and subsequently decrypted using sophisticated infiltration software. And it's the same thing in Germany. Based on this, a court does not need further technical details of the software in order to answer the question of the permissibility of the far-reaching measures. So in Germany, the German law also recognizes deficits in the knowledge that are comparables in terms of value. So this control deficit is you have very often in specific procedural situations. For example, if you have a protected informant, police informant, or you have undercover investigators, you as a court do not have the real credentials of this persons. You don't have faces. Sometimes you do not even have them in court, but you have the police handler. And so control deficits are not in common, and they per se do not imply inadmissibility. And of course, a witness testimony can also be unreliable. So control deficits are very common. And based on the fact that we have a mutual recognition, all this with the control deficit does not is conclusive. The French court has everything it should have known. In addition, there's another point the German courts had in that. Well, if the defense claims that the gathering of the data through the French authorities in France, there was a violation of procedural law, the party of the court of the trial who claims that has the burden of proof. Because, well, to claim that there are errors in retrieving the data on the basis of mere assumption is not sufficient. According to what is in the files, there are no indications of manipulation of the data content or a lack of authenticity. At least in Germany, the in dubio principle does not apply for potential procedural errors. And as no defense lawyer was able to show that there were errors, this argument did not lead to the inadmissibility of the data. The in dubio principle is of course applied after the evidentiary procedure, when the court has already evaluated the results, but remains in doubt and not beforehand. I would at least agree with most, no, not with most, but with all German courts dealing with this matter so far, not conclusive. The second argument, could this measures have been ordered in a comparable national case? I will be quite brief at this point. The German procedural code provides a legal basis for comparable legal measures, investigation measures. And so the German court said the same investigative methods could have been used in a local, in a national German case as well. So this argument also was not seen as conclusive. In addition, some of the courts in Germany were also of the opinion that there was enough indications that the Encrochat was not an ordinary operator, offering a more tailored data secure offering, but the German courts agreed with the court in Lille that the concrete design of the entire Encrochat system suggests from beginning on that this is only designed exclusively to be used for illegal purposes. And in fact, it was only used for criminal purposes. There was not a single case in Germany in which any legal use of the Encrochat devices came up. Especially interesting is the last point, because in some cases the defense argued that these Encro devices were used by persons particularly concerned about data security. And it's really kind of absurd to think that if you are concerned about data security, that you would choose an operator you do not even know who is behind it, from which place in the world he operates, and you simply have no guarantee what is happening with your data. So I think that this is, if you think a second about it, this is very convincing that especially people concerned about data security would not have used the Encrochat devices. The high price is another point in that. An end-to-end encryption you also find when you use WhatsApp or other apps you have on your phone. You do not need Encrochat for that. Third argument, the specific search for incidental findings. This accusation of the French authorities that this was kind of a fake argumentation, according to German courts, is untenable. This was justified at that point of the French investigation. The investigation at this point focused on the provider of Encrochat, and so it was of course necessary to prove that this provider used or was only offering services for illegal purposes. It was necessary to investigate also against the users. So it was inevitable to look at the communication behavior of all the users of these mobile devices. Only the concrete behavior of the users can support the assumption of the existence of a criminal organization. At this point also, German courts say not a conclusive argument. And finally, what about the notification under Article 31 of the EAO Directive? Yes, the French authorities did not notify the German authorities. But at least in our national procedural code, there is no general principle that a violation of evidence collection rules entails the inadmissibility of the evidence. Rather, this question depends on the case, in fact. Only when the law enforcement actions violates seriously, deliberately, or arbitrarily the procedural law, then the evidence is inadmissible. In the Encro case, German courts say that the lack of notification is of a very minor gravity. And the thwarted review of the German court using an EIO is not even remotely comparable to the judicial review under national law. The possibility of assessing the underlying facts of the case in EIO is per se severely limited. So 96 hours and all this in view of the concrete approach, intentional misconduct on the part of the French authorities would regarded as was regarded as remote. And so it's not more than negligence. If you also, in addition, look at the possibility of a legal hypothetical substitute intervention, the hypothetical clean path doctrine, I hope you agree with me that this argument is also inconclusive. So it's rather unlikely that the competent German court would have objected to the French surveillance measures in case of notification. As I mentioned before, all courts who have dealt with these questions in Germany came to the same result. The evidence is admissible. This is not only the higher regional courts, but also the Federal Criminal Court quite recently came to the result that this data is was made lawfully available to the German Federal Police Office. Of course, in every single case, as a prosecutor, as a judge, and as a defense lawyer, you must, of course, corroborate this electronic evidence against other types of evidence. This is a standard procedure. Of course, you must corroborate the data from the French authorities to the copies to messages of messages on other Encro phones, to photographs. Cell site co-location with regular smartphones can show your corroboration. In some cases, you also have a physical surveillance corroborating the data from the Encro phones. And of course, physical evidence like drug package materials, narcotics, firearms, large amounts of cash you find during a house search is able to corroborate the data. Well, in Germany, no single Encro trial that ended up with an acquittal, as far as reported. All defendants were convicted, and the final decision of the German federal court, EncroChat evidence is admissible. And on this slide, for further reading, you find all the decisions. You can see that it's quite a lot of cases reviewed by courts. Well, what should we learn from the Encro case? I think it's very important to look on Article 7 of the Council Framework Decision 2006/960/JHA from 18 December 2006. In this article, you find the legal basis for the spontaneous exchange of information and intelligence. And the EncroChat case proves that it is very important to be very careful at this stage of an investigation. And there are a lot of best practices to be observed in cases like that in order to avoid legal problems in court later on.